Time to talk baseball as we are joined on the telephone line by Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. Pete, good afternoon.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Well, you know, like everybody else, day to day, hoping things get better and wondering the $64,000 question if we'll have some semblance of a baseball season.
Well, it certainly looked a lot more promising yesterday than it does today, but I do think in the end, they'll be able to come to some sort of agreement on the number of games to play. The owners had 60. The players want 70. One would think they could figure on 65. But then again, we've been thinking for a while that they could come to some sort of mutual agreement, and they haven't been able to do it. But it does seem like before the end of the week or early next week, they'll be able to settle on something and start planning for when to start the season.
Boy, could these two sides have done more to destroy any goodwill fans have for the game?
No, it's terrible. And for people who, you know, their lives are certainly invested in the game. They've done everything they can to alienate fans and turn people off. And it would be distasteful at any time. But when with what's going on in the country right now, it's even more so. And you would think that somebody would have enough common sense to say, you know, we need to stop doing this, and we certainly need to stop fighting through the media and through surrogates and just get this done quietly and move along. But for, you know, it's been now going on 3 months, and they still haven't been able to do that.
So as we look at the proposal and what we know about the proposal from the owners that was given to Tony Clark a couple of days ago, a couple of things stand out beyond the length of the season, and that is 16 playoff teams, and that would be in effect not just for this season, but the year after. And is that something that the owners are pushing for the future beyond 21?
Well, I know there's been talk for a while about an expanded playoff system, and that's really from a financial standpoint, a winner every time, because the networks do want expanded playoffs. And if you have more of the one-game playoffs, those get great ratings. Best two out of three, those do well as well. So I think that's something everybody can make money off of, and maybe purists won't like it, more teams getting in the playoffs. But it's worked for the NBA and the NHL. We've seen expansion in the NFL too. So I think that was going to come anyway, but it makes more sense even more so now because they can make some money back in October by having more playoff games.
And it sounds like universal DH as well. And I guess I'm a bit of a purist, but I'm all for that. There's nothing worse than seeing a pitcher trying to hit. And I always thought the double switch was the most overrated bit of strategy in all of sports.
Yeah, no doubt. And you look at what the numbers have been. Every once in a while, a pitcher runs into a home run and everybody gets excited. But for the most part, it really doesn't do anything to enhance the game. I think even people in the National League, there have been holdouts for years that, you know, this is a better style of baseball. They're starting to talk themselves out of that. And I find, to me, the worst part about it is when you get to the World Series and the American League team goes to the National League Park, and after not using the DH all year except in interleague road games, some poor pitcher's got to come up in the middle of the World Series and try to get a bunt down,
right.
And invariably it looks terrible. And here you are in the, you know, the Fall Classic and the big showcase of the game, and some poor pitcher is trying to get a bunt down. It just seems crazy.
Well, if we go through with this plan and whatever version exists, how well are the Red Sox positioned to compete for one of those 16 playoff spots?
Well, you know, you look at the way the Red Sox are built. They have a very poor pitching staff, but a rotation, and they have a very good offense. I think the fewer games, the better off they are, because a team can get hot offensively and maybe do enough damage that they could get into the playoffs. But over the course of time, a bad pitching staff is almost always going to be exposed. So the fewer times that they have to run out their number four and number five starter, the better off they'll be. And I think, well, obviously the more teams in the playoffs helps them, but I think they could hit their way into a playoff spot. I don't know that their pitching is good enough to get anywhere once they get there, but they could certainly, you know, be a force with what they can do at the plate.
And they get a little break in terms of health. Alex Verdugo should be good to go once they start.
Yeah, that should help them, and I think they should have Colin McHugh, if not ready to pitch, pretty close to it. He definitely wouldn't have been available to them at the start of the season had it been back in March, like it was originally planned. But now he's back to throwing off the mound. And this was a guy who was a pretty good pitcher when he was healthy for the Astros. So if they can get him, whether it's as a starter or a reliever, that'll give them a much better, more options than they would have had otherwise.
We're talking with Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. The commissioner's plan to reduce the number of minor league teams, the shorter draft this year. Is any of that healthy for the long-term good of the game?
Well, certainly not the draft. The draft is a cost-effective way to get talent into the game. It's something that I think promotes the game in a lot of places. I don't know how many places I've been where with the local high school kid or college kid gets drafted, it's a nice story in the local paper. Everybody's happy to see it. And to take away, that many possibilities for kids. Last year, there were over 1,000 guys drafted. This year, it was only 160. That just seems short-sighted for the relatively low amount of money that they're going to save. Now, when you look at the number of minor league teams, I've often thought that each team probably has one more affiliate than they actually need, and that there are a lot of players in the minors who hang around because the good players need somebody to play against, and there's a lot of guys who aren't really prospects. There's probably a more efficient way to do it, and I think that's what they're trying to get to.
Now, without minor leagues this year, if they do restart the season, we're looking at some kind of a taxi squad instead for the major league teams?
Yeah, what I heard was they told every team to have a facility within 100 miles of your home ballpark where players can go to work out and be prepared in case they're needed for the big league team. So the Red Sox could put their guys in Pawtucket. They could put their guys in Lowell. I think Portland is just outside the 100-mile limit. But they could use their minor league facilities and have, I would imagine it would be 20, maybe 22 players working out, playing some kind of, inter-squad games or something, and those guys would be essentially the depth in case of injuries.
Now, this obvious discord between the two sides, what does that mean going forward as they try next year to come up with some kind of collective bargaining agreement?
Yeah, it's certainly not a good sign. I mean, you look at the way they've talked about each other and the lack of negotiating and the lack of civility. They seem to loathe each other, and that's not a good sign in terms of getting something done. And it's another, with what's happened this year, if there was to be any kind of stoppage in the 2022 season, you wonder how many times they can do this and at what point it becomes lethal to the game. So you'd like to think they could come together and get something done before it gets to a point where you're talking about work stoppages and whatever else might come from that, replacement players or who knows what. But you would like to think that they've learned some kind of lesson with what's going on now, but given the history between these two sides, I wonder if that's even true.
Mm-hmm. Pete, you've been sharing some great memories of your time covering Major League Baseball. Is there one season that stands out for you that was the most exciting to report on?
Well, I guess in terms of excitement, and for a lot of different ways, it would be the 2013 Red Sox, because it was a team that not much was expected. They would get back to being respectable after the terrible 2012 season. And with everything that happened that year, with the bombings in Boston around the marathon and the number of players who overachieved, it was just such a, you go into every season with expectations. And when something happens that so far exceeds your expectations, even as a writer, it's interesting because you want to go to the park and see something interesting to write about. And that team was just endlessly had good things happen to him, whether it was Koji Uehara and Shane Victorino, Mike Napoli, all of these guys who you thought were just sort of pedestrian veteran players ended up being superstars. And that team was a lot of fun. I enjoyed going to the park every day with that team.
Now, speaking of that, Pete, do you know what's going to happen in terms of you and the other writers who cover the team? There's talk about doing remote broadcasts of games. Will you travel with the team?
Yeah, we don't know. I've heard a couple of different versions of this. One that we wouldn't be allowed, obviously, in the clubhouse, which I wouldn't expect to be the case, but that they might not even want us to be doing interviews like in a room 6 feet away from anybody, that all the interviews would be done over Zoom or over a telephone. I would imagine that they would let us go to the park and watch the game from the press box and be able to write about the atmosphere and what's going on. I would hope so. And the other thing that's kind of interesting, without fans being allowed in, they wouldn't lack for space for us. I mean,
right.
They could put us anywhere they wanted. So, I mean, as a writer, I think it would be interesting to go to the game and write about what it feels like to watch a Major League Baseball game without any fans.
Yeah, maybe. As far as I know, that's only happened once when you had the Orioles a
right.
few years ago play in an empty stadium.
Yeah, I just think it would be interesting to see how the players react if it affects the game in any sort of negative way. I know from talking to players over the years, there is something to be said about, you go into the plate in a big situation and the crowd is standing and everybody's on their feet, whether you're the home player or the visiting player, without that emotion, it'll be interesting to see which players respond and which ones don't.
Maybe it will give an advantage to Tampa Bay since they're used to playing in front of nobody.
It'll be an Orioles Tampa Bay ALCS. You're used to not having any fans.
Yeah, well, who knows, anything could happen in a 60-70 game season. It'll be interesting either way, but hopefully some baseball in our future. Pete, always good to talk with you. Appreciate you making time for us. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Same to you, Rich. Thank you.
Pete Abraham of the Globe on downtown.